Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's reading comes from 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were Gentiles, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one is speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed," and no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. One is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and another faith by the same Spirit, and to other gifts by healing of one Spirit, to another the working of powerful deeds, and another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit who allots to each one individually. For just as the body is one and has many members, for all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, or free, and we were all made to drink from one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but many. In the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body." That would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong in the body," that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members of yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again to the head, to the feet, "I have now no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work powerful deeds? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
I know my parents loved me. Stand beside me, come what may. That's how I knew I was ready. When I finally heard them say, "It's a different world from where you come from." Recognize that song? I'm dating myself a little bit. Anybody? No? Yes? A couple people? Okay, yeah, I got a couple people. A different world from, it was like a follow-up show to the Cosbys. Shout out to Malcolm Jamal Warner, who died last month. He's a good man. He was in both shows, and it's about going away to college. I've been thinking of that song as I prepared for this sermon. I grew up in a family where my parents loved me. I'm very blessed in that way. My dad didn't always know how to show me. My mom was real good at showing me that I was loved. And in fact, when my mom was around, everything was okay. That's a great way to grow up. I hope everybody was blessed enough to grow up like that. I know that's not always the case, but I hope that if you didn't grow up like that, that you found somebody as you got older. You have found somebody who has loved you like that in your life. It is a great way to grow up. It does not prepare you for going out into the world and meeting folks who didn't grow up that way. It doesn't prepare you for going out and encountering folks who have learned to be hard, to protect themselves, maybe to be proactively mean, right? So many people in our world, especially so many kids, learn to be proactively mean because it's a defense mechanism. Sometimes our, good, how are you doing? Sometimes our easiest defense mechanism, our first defense mechanism. And so, as a kid who didn't grow up with any of those things, I was ill-prepared to encounter folks that, some bullies, some folks who weren't bullies, but just did the things that kids do, and I took it all to heart. It was a hard way, thanks, I'll be back in a bit. It was a hard way to encounter the world outside of my folks' house. It's a different world. Where you come from. Took a long time before I started realizing that, let me start by saying, it got to the point where as I started to hear all of this negativity and I internalized it all, I started to, not only did I start to internalize what I was hearing from outside of the home, but when I went back to my house and I was told that I was loved, I started to believe that either there was something wrong with me that my folks did not see, or that they were not honest with me. They weren't willing to be honest about something that was clearly wrong that the rest of the world saw. I learned to not trust the people who told me I was good. There was clearly something wrong with me. And I struggled for a long time to figure out what it could be, what was going on. The church I grew up in was always good to me. I got no problems. I got no complaints. I know that the church has wounded a lot of folks. I'm not one of them. They were always good to me. My problem with the church wasn't that they hurt me in some way. My problem with the church was every Sunday when I was at church, Sunday school, or in worship, or at youth group, every Wednesday night when I came to youth group, every time I came to church, everything was fine. But when I left, it felt like there was nothing I was hearing on Sunday morning that spoke in any way to this brokenness I felt the rest of the time. Church was just like my folks, and they may have loved me well if they really knew me, but maybe, clearly, they didn't really know me because they didn't say anything to the brokenness I was feeling everywhere else, right? Have you ever felt that? Have you ever felt like the rest of the world is telling you there is something wrong with you, and it is significant enough that you have to ask yourself, what is up? What is going on? It's gotta be me. Took a long time for me to finally get to a place where I realized there was nothing wrong with me. I'm just incomplete on my own. When I finally came back to church, I left for a long time like most people of my generation did. Unlike most people of my generation, I found my way back on my own terms, really wrestled with God. I found a path that said, I've got to, if there is a God, I got to find something here that speaks to the brokenness I feel inside of me. The church spends all of its time talking about life after death. I had to figure out whether or not there was life before death, that there was something worth living for in this world. I wrestled and I wrestled and I came to a place where not only did I find something that I believed in, but I found a pathway, what I believed was a calling from God to say, this is the work I'm called to do, to be a part of. And like I said, when I finally got to this place, I realized that there was nothing wrong with me. I just was incomplete. And that is why I found my way back to the church. That is why I came to preach. That is why I felt like I needed to be part of making sure the church didn't die out, even though it didn't serve me when I was a kid. It would have been easy to say, I didn't need the church. Like what I found, the work I did, I didn't need the church for that. It didn't help me on that journey. But I had to come back and say, we have got to make churches places that don't just tell you what you should do, but actually walk with you through the mess and the brokenness, because we need to remind each other and ourselves that there is nothing wrong with you. We are just incomplete on our own. We are not made to be on our own. We are made to be finite reflections of an infinite being. You are made to be a reflection of perfection. Now, I know that'd preach in a Pentecostal church. I didn't even mean for that to come out that way. A reflection of perfection. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say a reflection of perfection. Sorry, there you go. All right, that's what that feels like. All right. You were made to be a reflection of perfection, but we are imperfect. We're not ever going to be like God. We are finite. And so we will never feel like we are enough on our own, disconnected from God. And it's not just disconnected from God, but disconnected from each other. When we read this passage from 1 Corinthians that Amanda just read for us, it reminds us that we are part of a body. And being part of a body doesn't mean our job as the church is to shape everybody into the right mold. We are not a nose factory. We are not a mouth factory. We are not even a heart factory. We may think that everybody needs to have the heart of Jesus. I would love for everybody to have the heart of Jesus, but not everybody here is meant to be the heart of Jesus in the body of Christ. That's me. I'm the bleeding heart of Jesus, folks. I'm nothing but passion and compassion. Left to my own devices, I'd just bleed all over the floor. I'd get everybody all riled up, and I wouldn't know what to do with it because we'd be all excited about something, and next week I'd just get you excited about something else. We would never do anything. Because on my own, I am incomplete. It's when we gather together, if we try to make everybody into the Christian mold, then we find that we are one-dimensional as a church. We're not doing the work of God, building the kingdom of God, celebrating the body of Christ. We are trying to control something that is not in our control. When we are doing what we do best, we are coming to a place where we are reminded that what separates us is nothing compared to what binds us together. Meaning, if I'm a bleeding heart and you're a hand and you're saying, hey, listen, don't talk to me about all the emotional stuff. Just tell me what to do. I'm here to do the work of Jesus. You and I may not speak the same language at first, right? I'm trying to get you riled up and you're like, hey, quit with all this emotional. Just tell me what the work is. I'm here to do the work of Jesus. If we can stay in community together, celebrate each other's differences, we will be so much more together than we ever could apart. But if I try to make you a heart, or you try to make me a hand, neither of us is going to fit or feel like we belong in the body of Christ. The last couple of weeks, we've been talking about connectionalism, one of the key identifying pieces of Methodism. We've talked about connectionalism from a theological perspective. We've talked about how we are connected to other churches. We've talked about how we are connected to our community, how we're connected to other people of other faiths. And today I want to talk a little bit about what it means to be connected here at Broadway United Methodist Church. To be part of this church, if you have joined this church in the time that I've been here, or you have seen anybody join this church in the time that I've been here, you have heard me say, there is nothing we offer at Broadway that you cannot take part in because you're not a member. Right? Everything we do, whether it's a class, a music program, worship, doesn't matter. There is nothing that we do that you cannot be a part of because you're not a member yet. Everything we do is for everybody else. To become a member at Broadway is to say you want to be a part of making this happen for other people. It's you saying, I want to know that I am a part of the body of Christ in a way that is inextricable, right? It's a commitment. It's like getting married, folks. We live in a day and age where you can date all you want. You can live with somebody all you want. You don't have to get married for that anymore. There was a time where you had to, or else, you know, if you wanted to be respectable or whatever it was, but that's not anymore. You don't have to do that. Now you get married because getting married is your way of saying, I want what we got, and I recognize it won't always be easy. I recognize I won't always like you, friends. I don't even always like myself. So I'm certainly not always going to like somebody else. But I am here for the good and the bad. And together we will work through whatever comes our way. Right? Getting married is a way of saying, now's the time when we can both do the hard work that we've been putting off because we didn't trust that anybody would stick with us if they saw who we really were. All right, well, now it's on paper. Now we made a promise before God and the preacher. Guess we better do the hard work now. Guess we better get honest now, because if it ain't now, it's going to happen someday. And might as well, if this is the rest of our lives, we might as well do the work now, right? I was joking with the first service. We think you get married because you're in love. I think you get married and then you figure out what love really means. You think you join a church because God loves you, and it turns out you're right, but it turns out you join a church and then you learn what it means to really be loved by God and to really love God in return. That place where you're no longer church shopping, but you're here for the transformation in yourself, the transformation of others, the transformation of the community, the messy stuff, the stuff that nobody wants to know how the sausage gets made. Well, friends, this is the emotional, spiritual, discipleship sausage factory, and this is just the work, right? This is the messiness, and that's what we're here for. And if you're not ready for that, if you're not here for that, that's okay. There's nothing we do as a church that isn't available to you if you're not a member. But if you join, you need to know that when I hear that, I think, okay, that means we're going to do the work together, and I'm going to screw up sometimes, and you're going to screw up sometimes. That's all right, because we're in this work together. This is the work of grace. This is the work of love. One of my favorite spiritual teachers, I think of him as he's a Christian mystic, modern-day Christian mystic, Father Richard Rohr, talks about spiritual transformation, how we grow as Christians, how we grow as people of faith. He says there's really only two things that lead us into growth spiritually. Great pain and great love, and most of the time it's great pain. I don't want that. Maybe I don't want to grow as a Christian or a person of faith. I got enough pain, thank you very much. But the truth is, just like that little, 5 or 6 year old me, 7 year old me, if you are truly open to being loved, you're going to be open to getting hurt. And if you are truly open to being hurt, to having your heart broken by the things of this world that break God's heart, and friends, there are so many things out here right now that break God's heart. If you're truly open to that, it's really just the love of God and the love of others who are committed to walking alongside you on this journey that it's going to hold you together as you do that hard work. That's going to say you don't have to take that shortcut. You don't have to pull out, open up whatever app you use to zone out, right? New York Times crossword puzzle that will take me on Sunday will take me a couple hours. And so that's a couple hours. I don't have to think about anything else. I don't have to zone out on things because I got other people who will walk with me when things get hard, when I don't want to feel that stuff because it hurts, right? I got folks who will walk that journey with me. That's the great love that will see me through that great pain into transformation. But friends, if we're not here for transformation, let's go home. If the church is just a place where we come to serve the church, let's go home. We're too busy. We've got too many things to do, right? This can't be a place where we come to do the thing because the thing needs to be done. This is a place where we come because God's work is right there ready for us, waiting for us, calling to us. When I hear about school shootings that happened this week in whatever town it was this week, because friends, I don't remember anymore because it seems like there's a school shooting almost every other week, and I'm not trying to be flip about it. It breaks my heart. There is nothing okay about this. And when I hear about this, I think there is a kid, and I don't even remember how old they were, but there is a kid who needed a community around them who told them that there was nothing wrong with them. They were just incomplete on their own and that they didn't have to be on their own, right? That even if nobody understood them, that's not the important. Understanding is not the path to belonging. That they didn't have to be ahead in the body of Christ in order to have a place to belong. When I see so many social service programs that serve the people who are most vulnerable in our community here in Council Bluffs just going away, and I hear about more and more policing in our streets by the military and by other, I think, this is not how we build community, friends. We need to, it is time for the church to show up and do the work in the community that we've been waiting for other people to do. If we get to the kingdom of God, it will not be because we elect somebody different. It's not going to be because we get the right program coming from the federal government or the state government or even the city government. It's going to be because we live into it, because we do it, because we are here to transform lives. And we can, not by ourselves, but together, we can. It's a lot, I know. You think about all those things that you hear about in the news that just make you feel like it's just too much. What are you going to do about it? It's just too much. It is too much for you by yourself, but you're not by yourself. Not if we're doing this right. But we got to be honest with each other, with ourselves, with God. We got to be open to being changed, to doing our part. Mother Teresa, who, God bless her, she did big things in the world. She used to say, I can do no great things, only small things with great love. Of all the people in this space, and all the people who are called to be in this space who just aren't here yet, all the people in the first service, and all the people who are called to be in the first service, you see where I'm going with. If everybody in this community did a small thing with great love, friends, that's the church I want to be a part of. That's what I'm here for. I hope that's what you're here for. Amen.